Hi, this is Stephen Woolley, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Chris and Shane.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Pressler here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Sitting in for Chris tonight is our guest host, Emily Gilardi.
So glad to be back.
And our guest this evening is Stephen Woolley. He will be at the Llewellyn's Pub in which one?
In Soulard.
Soulard, yeah. That's Friday the 23rd.
That's right.
And the Dubliner on January 30th.
That's right.
So come on out. Come out to a live show. So we were just saying off mic that you just celebrated your 1,000th show at the Dubliner.
The 1,000th show at the Dubliner. Yeah, it was a good time. Very good time. Lots of people in attendance. Yeah, it was very warm. And then that was back in October. And then, I had Demaryius Hicks was there, a very talented musician, St. Louis musician. Calvin Evans was on saxophone. CJ Benz was playing bass. So it was a really good time. I love playing at the Dubliner. It's one of my favorite places to play. And it was really good. And then after that, we started, we're working on stuff for the new album. So that'll be coming up soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
We keep writing more stuff, and so I'm like, oh, I need to put this on.
Right.
And so it's a never-ending struggle with trying to figure out what you want to do, so.
Yeah. Well, at least that's a good problem to have.
It is. Yeah. Instead of having a 3-disc CD,
I am pro 3-disc CD.
I am too, but
if you wanted to know where I stood, that's where I'm at.
I had some very good friends that they did a 2-disc album, with the DVD. Wow. And that seemed like a lot of work. And it did really well for them. But we're gonna probably just kind of pick some out of the. They're all really good songs. They're kind of like your kids. Yeah. So like you love them equally but differently. And so just kind of fits the mood of the album. So see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how often do you play full band stuff? I see you do a lot of solo more.
I do, and a lot of that has to do with basically the economy.
Yeah.
It's a lot less to just have me do my one-man show, and space, and sound, right, and things like that. So,
load-in, setup.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say 80% of the time I do the acoustic solo show.
Yeah.
And then the other, like during the summer, late spring, summer, early fall, the band's doing a lot. We're doing at least, 8-9 shows a month, so.
Yeah, I think, you take a look around the scene, and we've had a few new venues open up, and then we've had a few close, and then, it stinks to see that live music doesn't sell as good as it I think it should. Like, I mean, there's times some places do real well, but there's like you said, some bars don't want to spend the money for bring a band in because a lot of people don't really care to listen to the band. They really have the DJ or whatever,
right,
that kind of stuff. And
I've identified that problem, and I think I've come up with a solution. Where I take my acoustic show and a DJ and I mix them together.
Right.
So we're going to try this out. We're going to try it out the 30th at the Dubliner, and we're going to do some, as a matter of fact, DJ Cash Dollar is going to be doing some stuff with me. He's going to be doing his thing. He's a fantastic DJ. And that's a lot coming from me because I'm not a big fan of him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're who we compete with.
Sure.
But he does a really good job. He's really entertaining. Does a really good job, really entertaining. So he's going to do his thing. I'm going to do my thing first. I'm going to do a solo acoustic show. Then he's going to do his thing. And then we're going to do a little conglomeration of the two. So should be interesting. Yeah. Cool. So I can't, it's either gonna, that's why we, yeah, that's why it's the Crap Show Extravaganza, so yeah.
Is your upcoming album more acoustic, or is it whole band, or both?
We're going to do both. Okay. The last album I did, I completely did on my own, and it was completely acoustic. And I have complete faith in my guys that work with me. We're going to be working with Jason McIntyre up at Sawhorse, and I have complete faith in my guys. I have other musicians that are going to come in and help as well. I've already talked to a few. We're going to have some special guests come on, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be really, really good. So yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Or do versions. We've even talked about doing multiple, like take a song and do like multiple versions of it. Which we've done that in the past, and it's worked really well. So we've done like an acoustic song and totally reworked it a totally different way, and it sounds, you know, awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember we were talking last week with Jeremiah Johnson, and he was talking about getting in the studio with and having Devin Allman mm-hmm. produce his new record, and he was saying how, like, you know, forget now the name song, but he was saying, it's an old song he's been having around forever, and like he's been playing it this way, and then all of a sudden Devin's like, why don't you play it this way, you know, like he like totally flipped the tempo, and then like and that's the one they end up putting on the record. But yeah, sometimes it just takes going to the studio and playing with it, and you never, you know, some magic might happen.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of creative juices flowing around. Yeah. So, like I said, I love working with the guys that I work with because they have way different backgrounds. I love working with, you know, my background growing up was bluegrass and country and jazz. And then working with other people that played like a lot of rock or fusion or, mm-hmm. you know, blues or, you know, whatever. And then kind of taking that mix and then taking somebody else. And then, like, I love taking cover songs and doing them our way.
Yeah.
And we just kind of turn them on their ear. So they still kind of, you can still tell it's that song, but
the arrangements
change a little bit. And we like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's great, and then, like, we all have free. It is the Stephen Woolley Band, but they have free reign. I'm just like, we need to do whatever.
Well, that's the way to make a cover original.
Which yeah, is
like what everyone's number one complaint about being a cover, you know, or doing a cover of any sort is that it's not original. Yeah. Well, it is when you change the arrangement and put your sure. own style onto it. You can't if you try to cover it just like somebody else does.
There's a bit of a. There's that two sides of the coin with doing originals, being an original band, and being a cover band.
Sure.
And I like to walk that thin line in between them.
You like to toe that line.
I do, because I know you have a lot of cover bands that they play the song, and nothing against it, but they play the song exactly like the album
right.
every time. And they're good. They're great. And then you have original bands that they just play their thing and they're good at whatever they're doing, but they don't ever but they want to be so different that they alienate themselves from any type of genre or sound or anything like that. So, you know, because they want to be so original.
Yeah.
And so I like to take my influences from over here on like the cover side, because I do, I have lots of influences that stem many genres, and I like to take that and then I do the original stuff, and then whenever I'm playing my covers and I play the way I want to play, because I play songs I want to play, and that's the other thing too. So I always get the, you know, excuse me, sir. You play Hootie.
Are you about to tell us you're not a people pleaser? Because I don't believe you.
I am and I'm...
I'm calling bullshit.
I am and I'm not. It depends if she's hot.
I was going to say, because off mic, I was like, I mean, if you do, I don't need no doctor. I mean, I'm pretty much...
Yeah. yeah. So I will please to a point, but yeah, I'm not doing Hootie and the Blowfish. And so I get to do what I want, and then I get to pepper my originals in, and half the time people don't know which one way or the other, because I'm doing it my way.
Yeah.
So they're like, I've never heard that song before, and I'm like, that's one of mine, you know, and like, oh. But it flows because, sure. Like I said, I'm doing the original like me, and I'm doing the cover like me. So it all sounds like me. I'm not trying to sound like anybody else. So,
right.
So that's where I think that everybody just should like not, because there is everyone's so standoffish about like, well, it doesn't sound like the original, or you don't sound original. You know, it's one or the other. And so yeah, I stick to my guns. This is what I like to do. So. Sure.
How does that feel when somebody picks out one of your original songs and says that, you know, they really like it? I mean, just because you talked about you celebrated your 1,000th show. So is there, do you get jaded, or is it, does it never change to hear, oh, I really liked that song that you played. Oh, well, that's one of mine.
No, I really appreciate it, because that's kind of like one of the big driving factors is to have like, and so I'll tell a quick story. So I was playing at Nick's Pub one night, and I have a love-hate relationship with Nick's.
Doesn't everyone?
I love playing at Nick's Pub. I hate sometimes that the night doesn't really go so well. Most of the time I have a really good time, and it's a really good show. And then sometimes, you know, people are disinterested, and it, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions. But this one particular evening, it was during Lou Fest, and... I was playing a show, and some group of, you know, 12, 15 people come in, and they sit down in the back, and I started playing one of my originals. And they're all singing along to the original songs, which is not super uncommon, but I've never seen these people before. At least I don't recognize them. So I play another original. They sing every word. They sing along with the entire song, the whole group of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, so I just keep pumping out more and more and more of them. And they, and they just keep, and they know every word. And, I'm like, wow. And so I took a break, and they come up, and they're like, oh, we were in town, for Lou Fest, and we seen that you were playing here, and we had to come see you. Back in 2011, they were from Kansas, but back in 2011, they were in town to see Bare Naked Ladies, and they seen me open for Bare Naked Ladies, and they were fans ever since, and they had bought the albums and had done, you know, everything. So we did the photo ops and the, you know, signed the CDs and the whole nine yards, but, cool. But yeah. And I'm like, so as far as like being jaded now, I don't ever... Sometimes it never gets old. I mean, it's great. I mean, there's some songs that you always get the ones like the people come, I love that song. And it's like not your favorite song. Yeah. You're like, you know, like I absolutely love such and such song. And you're like, that was a horrible song. I don't know how you like it. I don't know what I was thinking ever putting that out on any type of album ever. But
that's the whole part.
Yeah, but being again, artist, but right? Again,
I mean, somebody came there to hear that song.
But that's true.
So you like can't you can't half-ass any of your songs as an artist because somebody came there to hear that to you, you know, piece of shit song that you don't like.
Right. Well, and that's
somebody loves it.
But yeah, and I'll have somebody come up. Can you play this song? And I was like, I've heard you play that song years ago. Would you play it? And you know, I may not have played it in years. And so I'm like, yeah, and I'll dust it off, you know. But I don't know. I love entertaining, and I think of it. It's not like I don't want to be a rock star. Never have I ever. That's never been a goal to be famous or anything like that. But I do love to perform, and I love being able to connect with people. And I mean, I've played shows and had people in the front crying weeping.
Yeah.
You know? And they're just like, you know, they're like, oh my God. They'll come up on stage. They're just like, you need a hug. I'm like, how sad was that song? I'm like, Jesus, you know? And so.
I'm hurting people right now.
Yeah, and, you know, they may have been intoxicated too, but. But at the same point, you're touching people, you know? And so. Yeah, it's good.
I always think of the Extreme story, the more than words,
right?
Like, you know, like,
oh God!
Like everybody loves that song, but they hate it. Like that's because that's like their pop single thing,
right?
But they're rock and heavy, and for them to that's the one everybody knows.
Everybody loves it. And yeah. That's what I mean when you say, like, yeah. It doesn't matter if you hate that song. If it's your hit song, somebody came there to hear that song.
Yeah.
And how dare you disappoint them, you know? I mean, like, that's how you would have to feel.
I'm sorry, but I guarantee you ask any artist.
Sure.
They will tell you, oh, yeah, for sure, that they have a song that they hate.
They hate it.
Yeah.
But they do it, and they do it well because they have to.
I saw, Todd Rundgren one night at the pageant, and I don't know. I get that you probably get bored playing a lot of the same stuff, so you want to, as an artist, you want to mix it up and do some new stuff or older, you know, deep cuts or whatever, that kind of stuff. And but I walked away disappointed because he didn't play Life as a Highway and stuff, and like, you know, I wanted to hear the same thing. I saw Black Crowes one night and they didn't play Hard to Handle, She Talks to Angels, or you know, Remedy, or any of the hits that I knew, like which, you know, the same thing, they got a lot of songs, but it's like, it'd be nice to hear one of those hits to, you know, like, but, yeah, some of those bands just steer away from that kind of stuff. They want you to...
Stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want you to grow and change with them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny, though. But...
Like Silverchair.
Right.
Have you guys heard, like, any new Silverchair stuff?
No.
It's fantastic. Really? Sounds nothing like 95 Silverchair, but...
No.
2005 Silverchair is just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like a Brothers Gibb type thing. Electronica. Yeah,
there's a lot of that stuff. Like, you know, they lose their major label, you know.
Yeah.
But then they go on and they still put out some, you know, incredible things. And, you know, there's a lot of that, though. There's a lot of these bands that, you know, they kind of fall off the radar, but they're still out there cranking out excellent music. And, but yeah. Well, you want
to... I was going to say, are we deep enough in to have a song yet?
Yeah,
I'll
start a
song. Am I greedy? Am I too excited?
Yeah, so what do you got? Which one would you like to play for us?
All right, so...
You have to tell us everything about it.
I will. I will tell you everything about it.
Okay.
This is a song that's kind of like... This will be pretty much, well, the single for the new album. And it's called Lover a Little While. And I'll tell you exactly how this all went down. I was in a relationship, and then I wasn't in a relationship. And then I may or may not have been having a pity party at a bar out on the lake, which makes the most delicious mojitos.
Lake of the Ozarks?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like furniture up there in the summertime. And
give me a mile marker.
Shorty Pants Lounge. Shorty Pants Lounge.
Okay.
That's
perfect.
We were sitting up there, and I was supposed to be having this awesome weekend, and I wasn't.
Ooh.
And so I was drinking a lot, and you know that you got a problem when the bartender had a Rumplemintz bottle. A full-size Rumplemintz bottle tattooed on his forearm. I'm not kidding. And he's like, are you okay? You know, when that guy is going, hey, buddy.
With
the Rumplemintz bottle tattoo.
Are you going to be okay?
You're going to be okay, buddy. And I'm friends with a lot of the people that work there and stuff, so I'm doing my thing. And I was done playing, and so I was, you know, diving deep. And... a couple of the girls came over, and we had music playing, and they're like, oh, come dance with us. It'll take your mind off things. I was like, no. I think I'm just gonna sit here and love her a little while. And I sat there for, like, 2 seconds, and I'm like, I grab a stack of napkins in front of me, and I just start writing the song. And So yeah, I'll just play it. So here we go. Well, I had coming. The writing was on the wall. I was a fool not to see it. Choose not to see it all. I had my chance. Now it's a hard lesson learned. Her love's grown cold for me, but my heart still burns. So I'm gonna stay here, love her a little while. I'm gonna miss her pretty eyes. I'm gonna miss the way she smiles. She's moving on without me, getting on with her life. But I'm gonna stay here, love her a little while. She used to dance, staring at the clouds. I loved how she'd laugh, and I could find her in a crowd to tell me keep searching for someone already found. I'm holding on for dear life, and the tears are coming down. So I'm gonna stay here and love her a little while. I'm gonna miss her pretty eyes. I'm gonna miss the way she smiles. She's moving on without me, getting on with her life. But I'm gonna stay here and love her a little while. Well, I'm gonna stay here, love her a little while. I'm gonna miss her pretty eyes. I'm gonna miss the way she smiles. She's moving on without me, getting on with her life. But I'm gonna stay here, love her a little while. Love her a little while. So go cry in your beer over that one.
And I need another beer.
If you're getting up.
Yeah, man, that sounded really good. So if you, when you're taking that to studio, are you looking to keep it acoustic like that? Are you looking to, are you going to add more?
Well, I have some friends that I was wanting to include in on that. I know a very talented fiddle player, Abby Stahlschmidt.
Yeah.
And we had talked about maybe collaborating, putting some stuff in on that, and kind of maybe doing it a little bit more. Thank you. I don't know. I want to, it's very rootsy for me, so yeah. Maybe put a little bit more of a bluegrass feel on it with some fiddle and whatnot, but... Yeah, I'll probably keep it pretty acoustic on that.
Yeah. I got to meet Abby through Clockwork.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
With Dayton Jordan, and she gave me a copy of her CD.
Some very, very, very talented young men as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Jordan. Jordan Sloan.
She friended me on Facebook when I liked Clockwork.
Yeah.
She's a very pretty girl.
Yeah.
And Jordan Sloan, very, very talented young men. Though they all are.
A whole group of people, and Abby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amazing.
And it's like, I love it because I'll be 35 this year, and I love seeing like young talent.
Yeah.
Like actual talent, not, you know, just.
Well, that's what I mean. We just had today it came out, but with Connor Lyle, like he's 14 years old, man. That guy, he's so good on
guitar.
Yeah. And it's exciting to see that, like, and especially just talking to him, like, you know, this is the passion that he has just to play and learn and grow. And, you know, it's just like, it's fun to see that, you know, that the
and
youth.
If he didn't have his little baby face right in front of you, you'd never know he was 14. I mean, you would never.
But, you know,
he got the whole Johnny Lang thing going on, like, with the deep voice.
Not too much,
no?
Yet, but yeah. Right. But yeah, he's
just good.
Nah.
Yeah, he does a lot of, like, finger style picking, and it's he's talented, and He's working on singing. He says he's you know, he wants to get out to where he can play, sing and play at the same time and do some shows that way. But yeah, same thing with Clockwork. I mean, I've known those guys for several years now, and the same thing. You know, you see them when they're right out of high school and stuff, and how good they already are, and it's just like, you know, things are going to happen.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And you know what? What's really exciting is that back when I was age, like, you had to have, like, record labels, and you had to have, you had to go through all this rigmarole, and you don't have to have that anymore.
Right.
Like, you can totally have a grassroots movement. I mean, for Zach Brown's a prime example. I mean, the guy was, you know, selling ridiculous amounts of albums and things at his shows, things like that, before, you know, a label ever even picked him up. And the same thing, we have, you know, we have Facebook, all the social media, things like that, CD Baby, iTunes. I mean, it's kind of, it's ridiculous, the market that you can put yourself out to now.
Yeah. But, and how many people have, you know, got a lot of exposure just through YouTube and stuff. Like, I mean, people are making, I've seen something today, people are making millions of dollars just through their YouTube videos and, like, so you can have a career just being on YouTube. And
well, social media is a huge, huge influence now.
Yeah.
I mean, you hardly ever meet a solo artist or a band who doesn't have a Facebook, a Twitter, and an Instagram. I mean, and a YouTube channel. I mean,
I have all three. I don't know how to use either. So.
I had a
bunch. Not well. I have a degree.
That's right. That's right. I'm totally going to.
I've got buddies, Exit 714, and they had an opportunity to open for Slash, which they did, which was really exciting. But they, like, did all that was based on their following, their Facebook and stuff, how many followers they have and things. And it's like, it's just kind of crazy that that's like where we're at now, like where people aren't even going to look at your page unless you're
like, oh, this guy's got 300 followers. Yeah, yeah, no. So. Yeah, you can't even get, you know, like, well, I was going to book you, but.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, that's what I was just about to say, is it's also, that's how you sample music. You know, I mean, if you've never heard of someone before or whatnot, you find their social media page, and if they don't have at least 1 to 2 videos of what, you know, their
something going on, videos, sound bites, something, you know. Yeah, and it's, and sometimes as an artist, we like take that for granted because we're so busy doing other things. Okay. That we don't realize. I mean, it's a big part of it. But in order to do neither, you know, in order to get out there, mm-hmm. you know, you have to do this stuff. You have to do the podcasts. You got to do the
Or it's just viral word of mouth. You know, I mean, it's like I had heard of you before. I've heard some of your things before, but Shane posted this cover you did today, and it was like, I don't know, I just loved it. You know, and it was like, would I have known that that was there before without social media? Probably not. But I would have loved to. I would have loved to know that it was there. But, so it's, I mean, it's both evil and good. It's, it gives lots of exposure.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's a double-edged sword.
Well, I listen to a lot of Pandora sometimes when I'm, like, just doing dishes or whatever. And I'll put it on. And I love that they put some kind of algorithm they have. But they link a lot of people, and then like and I guess all you really need on to get on there is like a UPC code or whatever on your CD. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people out here, and then I'll go look them up on Facebook, and they only got maybe like 1,000 followers or whatever it is, and it's fun to see that like these people are, you know, just like you or anybody, you know, like guys that are out there, you know, working to make it, and like, and it's fun to, from all over the country. And it's fun to get down on board with them early on, like, you know, where, and so I really like that. Like,
that's the same with Spotify. I know that to a lot of artists, Spotify is like the devil's word, but it's just, it also, like, the discover part of it. I mean, I'm a compulsive album buyer. Yeah. I will be that way forever. I mean, and I'm not old, but I will pretend I'm old. If that makes me buy albums that I'm old. But that's how you will go. Like, it's kind of how you learn sometimes, like, whether you choose an artist radio and it gives you people like that, or you've listened to things so long that it tells you you might like, and then you try it and it's someone you've never even heard of before. Yeah. So, I mean, it is a good tool for that, even though it's people's
music. I miss being able to buy an album because of a single.
Yeah.
And
you find out if you love it.
And then like, this whole album's crap.
Yeah.
I spent $15 for a song.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or you buy that album and you find that gem.
Oh, yeah.
Like the one that, yeah, the one that you, that will never be a single, it's not going to be a single.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But it's just a fantastic song, you know, there's a lot of them.
To me, it's the dead opposite, because then you can play the game where you're cooler than everyone else, because I already listened to that whole album, I already knew that song rolled, and I knew it before you, you know.
I will totally admit, I bought, Born and Raised and Wore It Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like, I wanted to, like, I heard one song on it, and I was like, this is pretty good.
That's
Mayer's.
Mayer's,
yeah.
That's John Mayer.
But
it's very not John Mayer.
It's totally.
Like,
and
it's
I.
It's like Allman Brothers, like a roots rock.
Very, very, very roots rock, yeah. Very Allman Brothers, very. I need weed right now.
It
type
has kind
of album.
Flavor to it.
It has a very big Paul Franklin's playing steel guitar on it. I mean, just awesome stuff. And
if you think John Mayer, it's not.
No, not at all.
It's not his gravity. It's not.
No, no, no. It's not Continuum. It's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you listen to his whole discography. I mean, like how he went from, you know, pretty much straight pop to. You know, blues, and then now he's gotten, you know, so it's like.
But see, that's great. That's actually, that's a great example of being able, there's someone that's just being able to, he's not reinventing himself, he's just doing his thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, he has free reign to do whatever, and it's not the same thing over and over and over and over.
The cool thing about him is, obviously, none of us know him as a person, but, like, if you go to a concert, he'll tell you that exact statement that you just made. Like, I know that my new music is not what you guys are here to hear. I'm going to play you those songs, but I'm also going to play you some new stuff, and I just want to thank you for letting me grow and change as a person and an artist and still sticking with me.
Yeah.
Because I know that this is different from, because Paradise Valley is the same way.
Paradise Valley, it's like country as country goes. Yeah, I really like Paradise Valley too.
I do too.
Born and Raised though was just an absolutely just
totally changed it up. Queen of California.
Yeah, Queen of California.
Something like Olivia.
Born and Raised was fantastic. Face to Call Home.
Speak for Me.
Yeah,
I mean, okay,
the whole album. The whole album was great. So.
Left town, the Queen of California, stepping down, down, down. Hello, beauty. Hello, strange. Hello, wonder. What's your name? I'm looking for some new young home after the gold rush in 1971. Left town, the Queen of California, stepping down, down. If you see her, say hello. Soon tell me I told you so. Tony Roll blew in a house by the sea. I gotta believe there's another color waiting on me. Found out a ghost left town, the Queen of California, stepping down, 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 get down. Just found out a ghost left town, the Queen of California, stepping down, down, down.
But yeah, so
you would see me in like a melted puddle on the floor right now, and then Shane's laughing the whole time I'm mouthing the words. Yeah,
but yeah, no, like that was awesome. That's great. I mean, it's all good stuff, and that's why I said I love. Those are great examples of whether or not he was, you know, whether or not he's at his status. Obviously, he's celebrity superstar status. But just as an artist, he's to grow and change all that he wants, and that's what I love to do. I am not the same artist that I was. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed to even play anything from 20 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. But
always one of my favorites, and obviously we talked off mic about Will Hogue, and I love like how his early stuff. He's pretty much like Americana rock, and a lot of you know like Bruce Springsteen kind of influence and all that stuff. It's real rock and roll, and and then now as he's gotten older, it's kind of more mellowed a little bit. I mean, there's still some rockers in there, but he it's more of a country kind of sound to it. And I remember one of my favorites is because he's such a great storyteller on stage, and he talked about how now he's kind of getting some exposure with when he had the Strong got picked up on Chevy. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting a lot more radio play and things now, and he people were been wanting to interview him and talk to him and get to know him, and even though he's been at it for a long time now, and people are like, so what do you are you guys a rock and roll band or country band or whatever? And he's like, we play Will Hogue music. That's all,
That's a great.
There's no genres. It's just.
Yes.
Yeah. We just play.
Well, yes to what? Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We just play it all. And that's what, that's what it should be. It shouldn't be,
What are you? Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
So many people want to define everything. It's just like, it's music.
Well, that's the problem because you pigeonhole yourself then. Yeah. You know, then certain places may not want you to play there if you call yourself a particular type of music. So
I love being able to do everything that I do. I mean, I can play, and I love to play, whether it be like something like bluegrass or jazz, and then flip the coin and go play an urge tune,
I saw you the other night. That's exactly what you did.
Versatility.
You went from dueling banjos to jump right in.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It's fun to see that, like a variety and the work. But like I said, even as you said earlier, like as you're playing, it's not like you're trying to make them sound like that. I mean, they're your version of them. So they're still, they all kind of run together to where.
Right. There's not like it's like, you just pulled the needle off the record and like put something else down, Like I try and make things, seamless.
Sure.
Good old urge music. I guess that's a good story to tell.
You and Steve play quite a bit of shows together, right?
Steve and Steven, and sometimes Adam show. We did Taste of St. Louis, not last year, but the year before last. Yeah. And we did that together, and then me and Steve have done a lot of shows together.
Right.
How many times have you done Taste of St. Louis?
I've done it three times.
Okay.
Yeah, I did it first as a solo acoustic artist, and then the second time was with my full band. And then the third time was with me and Steve. And we did that on, we were drinking one night. And we come up with this great idea. And we decided we were gonna call it Mike Cosiello and we were going to play. So we ended up playing. I don't know how, but yeah.
I think that was one of my first times seeing it. Was that Steve's Hot Dogs? He had a little party in there.
Yeah. Because we were doing the little the Indiegogo kind of fundraiser thing for the Tower Grove location. Yeah. I love Steve to death. He's one of my very good friends. And he was very instrumental in getting me started in St. Louis. And I'll say, if I were to say it, he'd be like, eh. He'd totally blow it off.
Yeah.
Because he does a lot for a lot of people.
Right.
But he really did. I got a phone call. This is back in like 2005, 2006. And so I got up to this phone call and he's like, "Hey, this is Steve Ewing of The Urge." I'm like, "Whatever." And I hung up.
You lied.
Yeah.
You lied.
So phone rings again. "Hello?" Oh, crap, you know. And you have to realize, like, we, growing up, I mean, The Urge was, that was, you know, that was our band,
yeah.
You know. We would go grab a 20 bomb, throw it in the car, go back road and throw in, you know, whatever, you know. We had a whole catalog of Urge stuff, you know, listen to that. And
bumping The Urge on cassette.
That's right.
Yeah.
We literally were. Bust me that 40. And so, you know, we're listening to, you know, even like, I guess even then, you know, Too Much Stereo had just come out,
right.
You know. And so years later, you know, to hear, you know, I'm like, "What? No." And so he was like, I was like, "I wonder if you'd be interested in playing guitar for me." I'm like, "Course I will." When? This Friday night. It's Tuesday. Awesome. So I got to learn like 75 songs in 3 days. Yeah, I can do that totally. Awesome. Yeah, I'll be at your house tonight. So I show up at his house and he writes down a set list and he gives me a CD with all the different stuff. And like literally, I had no... I loved Urge Tunes. Never played an Urge Tune in my life. Because I just love listening to it. You know, it's just one of those deals. There's certain things, you know... I don't play. I love Zeppelin is one of my favorite bands. I don't play any Zeppelin.
Yeah,
I think I do one song, you know, and I don't even do it well. So I'm sitting here going, "Oh, okay." And I'm looking down the list, and I'm like, "Okay, that's odd. Okay," because it goes. It was like kind of went from one extreme to the next. It was like Police, Prince, and then you know, Sly and the Family Stone, and then it kept going. And I'm like, "Oh, I got this." So we go out, he calls me up. He's like, "Why don't you come up?" He goes, "We're playing Wednesday night." He goes, "Why don't you come out and," he goes, "come out and see the show." And he goes, "You get an idea of what we're doing." I'm like, "All right." So I show up. There's like 15 people there, and they could have cared less if they were playing. And I'm like, "Awesome." Because this is no pressure now.
Right.
So.
Well, that's the best part is being able to learn and absorb.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm like, "This is easy. I got this." So I show up Friday night at the gig, show up a little early. I'm a little, you know, get a couple drinks in me beforehand. And so Steve comes in. Well, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that Steve's, like, from Webster Groves. And we were playing at Llewellyn's Pub in Webster Groves. And it was the Friday before Christmas Eve. And everybody's home from college. And they're home for the holidays and their whatnot. The place ends up packing out, like, front to back, side to side. The manager's like, we've never had a crowd this big this year. And I'm like, "Yay." And there's people coming up, and, you know, they're like, "What's it like to play in The Urge?" I'm like, "I have no idea.
I just found out."
Yeah.
Today.
I'm like, "Yeah, awesome, I guess, you know." And I'm like, "I'm not him. You know, yeah. I missed that boat." Anyway, yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "Oh, this is going to suck." You know, because I'm the only one. I'm the guitar.
Yeah.
And he's singing. And that's it. And so, if I screw up, I'm had. You know, and especially, like, they're going to know if I screw up Urge songs and things like that. So I was like, so I kind of brush it off. I'm like, I'm good. So we take off. And Steve's just bang, 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 bang. Just blowing through songs. One after the other. I'm like, "Dude. Like, you gotta slow down." I'm like, "We're, you know, let's take it another round or something. Oh, we'll just sing them twice or whatever." And I'm like, "Well, we're sung this one 3 times already, so we need to do something." And it's like the last set. And he's like, "Well, what songs do you know?" And I'm like, and I'm trying to think of something as generic as can be that he'll know. And I'm like, "What about Santeria? I don't know, sing a little bit of it." And he was kind of messing with some stuff, and I started singing it, and he kind of stops what he's doing, turns around real quick, and he goes, "You're going to sing it."
Yeah.
I'm like, "I'm not singing it." goes, no. He goes, you're going to sing it. So I end up singing it. It's like, do another one.
He created a monster.
And so, yeah. And so at the end of the night, he's like, yeah, you can't play guitar for me. And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Did I mess up? And he's like, no. He's like, you need to be doing your own thing. And so.
Oh, that's cool. That's big of him.
So he bugged me for like 2 years. I was like, what are you doing? You playing? You laying out anywhere? I'm like, no. And so, like, one night he just kind of called me up. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. He goes, no, you're not. You're opening for me. And so I went and opened up for him at a little bar down in, I think it was Great Grizzly Bear. And he's like, all you got to do is 45 minutes. I ended up playing like an hour and a half.
That's cool.
And the bar owner comes over and he's like, oh, I need to get you in here and playing. And at the time, I was just started playing at the Tilted Kilt here in Arnold. It's not there anymore. And so that was kind of where I played every Thursday night. So every Thursday night from 8 to 10, I played at the Tilted Kilt. And when I first started there, they were like, we'll just book you up for like the month. And then they're like, well, we're going to book you up for next month. And like, well, all right, we're going to book you up 3 months in advance. Well, all right, well, you're indefinitely here. And so I played like over 100 weeks straight at the Tilted Kilt.
Awesome.
And which was really good because I was like, and I still wanted to like play out and stuff. And I really, really in all honesty, I guess wasn't quite ready. I mean, as far as being a musician and being a singer and things like that, I never really had any doubts about, I never fancied myself a singer. I always wanted to be a guitar player. And I had never done like the frontman type thing. And so really in all honesty, those 100 weeks of showing up the kilt and playing those 2 hours every night or every Thursday night was kind of like practice, you know? And so eventually I kind of developed my shtick, so to speak. Then after literally after they closed, everything just kind of blew up, and then, you know, like I said, I was doing 200 plus shows a year, so.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you find that that's how it goes? Because I hear, I mean, I don't know, I guess maybe just because I love music so much, I know a lot of musicians, and then I have friends that are musicians, and I find that, like what you just said about, well, I had never wanted to be a singer. I never fancied myself a singer. I was a guitar player. And I find that a lot of people who, I don't know, do music per se, like, establish themselves one or the other. I don't know a lot of people who are like, oh my god, yeah, I'm such, you know, I love to be a guitarist and I also love to sing. Like, I don't know people who do say they like love both. Like, I mean I feel like you're one or the other.
I definitely now I love both. I mean, because like you said, it's being an artist is, you know, more of what it is now. But before it was just like, I just want to play guitar.
But if somebody like was like, oh my god, your tone is amazing, you sing so great, would you give it up? Would you not play guitar just to be to do?
Oh, there's nights when I'm with the band, I put the guitar down and I just do my, I just sing, and I like that too.
So you like it in like a mix?
Yeah, and I play other instruments, and I play harmonica and things, so
cool.
And me and the saxophonist will duel. So I'll play harmonica and he plays saxophone and we'll duel back and forth. And that turns into pretty interesting too. So, I don't know. No, I could never, it doesn't feel right. I'm kind of like Ricky Bobby, like during the interview. I don't know what to do with my hands. So yeah, I have to have a guitar. So otherwise I'll be like this.
Just hold the mic stand.
Just the whole time.
Mic stand at the microphone. The whole hands are shaking Scott, too bad. Do not let them go.
The whole Scott Stapp thing.
That's awesome.
Except I'm not at a hotel. Anyway, no.
Weird question. Sorry. Weird,
I
just hear a lot of musicians say that. Like, I'm a guitarist. I'm not a singer. But you sing phenomenally. You know, like, I'm like, why? Like, that's my question. Is like, I'm just, okay, but if you're good at it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I really didn't. I never really did. I mean, my dad had taught me. My dad was a professional musician. Then he was a professional musician on the road. He was a drummer. So I learned how to. I was also played drums, and but he would play drums, sing lead, and played harmonica all at the same time. Yeah, was a little hard, and fantastic. He was a great singer, absolutely wonderful. And he's the one who taught me how to sing. And so, but I just never. And then growing up, like I was in that weird, awkward teenage. A stage, you know, where like you sound like Bobby Brady, and if you don't know, get that reference. I'm sorry, but like the whole time you just never know, because like I'm like oh, I can go from, you know, I could just do the high tenor harmony Vince Gill, and I couldn't do that if I die, and so things change. Like I said, I've been playing. I've been playing out professionally for 25 years now. Yeah. So,
and let's also just state for the record that he's not that old. He was a baby when he started playing.
Yeah, so I was a little bitty when I started. But for 25 years, and like it's really weird whenever you're like 21.
That would have made you what, 10?
Yeah, somewhere around there, 11-ish, somewhere around there when I started playing, singing, stuff like that. And then when you're like 21, 22, you're like, man, I've been doing this for like 10 years. You're like, oh, you know. And then after 20 years, like, I've been doing this for 20 years. And so, yeah, I'll be 35 this year. So I've been doing this, yeah, for, gosh, yeah, 24, almost 25 years, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway,
you got another one you want to?
Yeah, let's
sure. You want fast or slow?
What do you want?
Well, we just did. I mean, I'm a sucker for slow always, yeah. But we just did slow, so maybe we should space it out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's go with a fast one.
All right, so we'll do a little faster one. So, I'll do another one that'll be on the new album. So here we go. My heart and my mind, I have them on hell of a time. Getting over you in a reasonable time. They keep running over where I made mistakes. When will I escape my fate, for goodness sake? Yeah. How many times will this heart break? Yeah. Over one little girl who threw me away. When will I start singing a love song? Said how everything has gone wrong. Tell me when will I get over you? When I finally start losing the blues, something comes along and reminds me that you're gone wrong. Tell me when will I start singing a love song? Heart and my mind, I'm having one hell of a time. Getting over you in a reasonable time. The cheap running over where I've been mistakes. When will I step my feet? Oh, goodness sake, yeah. How many times will this heart break, yeah. Over one little girl who threw me away. When will I start singing a love song? Instead of how everything has gone wrong. Said how everything has gone wrong. Tell me when will I get over you? Will I finally start losing the blues? Something comes along and reminds me that you're gone wrong. Tell me when will I start? Tell me when will I start? Tell me when will I start singing a love song? Thank you. perfect way to end any song.
What a... in your writing process, like do you start with a lick, riff or anything, or
I have done it both ways. Yeah. Like I was like, you sit there and you're like, you might sit there and you're like, and then you're like, you come up with something, or you might have something again. You might just have like that hook,
right?
And then you just kind of add it to maybe something that you've been playing around with, or just whatever's in your head, and then you match whatever's in your head. Or
yeah, I've heard I think it was on Stern also. Steven Tyler was in there, and he was talking about some songs, and obviously he's got some lyrics that really don't always make sense, but it goes with the melody,
right?
And like, and he'll just put filler words in there that match, and it's like, but if you read it and you're like trying to make it make sense of it, it doesn't make any sense,
right?
It's just it goes with the melody and stuff and everything else. Like, so I just think it's interesting how there's some people write all the words and then try to come up with a guitar or something, and people have the...
It's just, it really is kind of like, I mean, everybody's got a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm positive. Because if there was a way to do it right, I probably don't do it that way. Yeah. So I'll just put it that. I'll just say that.
Right.
So how did you arrive at that song? Because, I mean, that the lyrics of that song are not any less sad than the
but it's song a happy
you
song
played us, but it's an upbeat tempo, so it fools you. But if you're really listening to the words, it's like, ouch, man,
that
hurts me inside. Do you mind?
No. I just sometimes things just kind of, especially if you have a lot of time to think like I do. Sometimes you just kind of, you'll sit and like, you just keep thinking about things, or something will pop up and it'll remind you of something and you're like, ah, son of a, and especially like, I don't know. Cause I kind of torture myself sometimes because I do write these songs, and a lot of these songs I write about, they're about real stuff. It's not because of something I saw on TV or something I saw on Facebook or, I wrote this story because of this article I saw, about poppies in Uganda, I don't know. That's the only way I can, because I'm a talker. I talk, I chat. I'm chatty as a high school girl, I'm just like, and so the more I talk about it, the more it makes sense to me. And so sometimes whenever I'm talking about it, and it kind of helps with the music as well. So whenever I'm playing the songs, you kind of, there's a little bit of you that has to relive that every time you play the song. Otherwise it just doesn't come across, unless you're singing with some sort of conviction, so every now and again, especially if you play like a bunch of those and you get done, you're like, son of a bitch, this is horrible.
Sad.
Yeah. And so, I just, I haven't had a whole lot of good stuff to write about happen to me. So no, I'm kidding. but it's great therapy. So I will, and so yeah, it's more upbeat, but it's I'm sitting here going, I have no idea why I'm thinking about this. You know what I mean?
Do you find that it helps you grow an immunity to that situation?
No.
I just had to laugh. Like I saw Billy Joel this year. He was here, and he was cracking me up when he was on stage because, I mean, he's had, what, 3 wives? I mean, so he has all these songs that he's written about women, and at the time it was because he was so in love with this woman.
Right.
And so he would go into his next song, and he would say, let's sing another song about a woman I am not with anymore. And it was just like kind of like his way of being like, fuck. But at least it was a good song for him, you know, and like it did well for him, and people want to hear it. So he's
he's
over and over and over again. And it probably does hurt him.
Oh.
But he got up on stage like, all right, fine, I'm going to sing another song about a lady I used to like.
Right. Well, and that's like, the same thing with like Love Her a Little While. Like, I had posted it. The person that had heard it, I did not get a good response out of it. So it made it a little easier, you know what I mean, to kind of get over the whole fact. But, like, yeah, there's sometimes, you know, you just be just kind of running along and you'll be fine, totally okay. And then something, you just, you know, you have that moment of clarity.
Sure.
And then, you know. And then, you know, because, like, it weighs you down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? And then, you know, sometimes you do. You weigh, like, you know, 1,000 pounds. And then there's some, you know, and then, like I said, you'll have that moment of, you know, where you're like, oh, I'm good. And then it comes tumbling down on you again. And you're just like, oh, why? Why? So.
Why did I sing that song?
Well, it's not even, it has even nothing to do with really anything to do with the songs, but it just, like, sometimes you'll, you know, like I said, you'll, you know.
The situation,
you know, you'll be driving somewhere, you know, you just, you know, have a thought or whatever. And, so you're just like, oh. So, yeah.
when Emily was saying how, that was a sad song, and I started laughing, thinking of Robin Hood Men in Tights, when the Lord of Locksley, he comes in and goes, I got bad news, and he goes, could you tell me the bad news in a happy way? And it was, oh, okay, well, yeah. So Robin, goes on and tells the whole story. He's like, starts laughing, and he's just cracking up, and he's like, that is terrible news. Why would you do that? And like, so that's what I laughed at. That's what I was thinking about. Like, just
because you were. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. When you say, like, do you want a fast song, or do you want a fast song, or do you want a slow
song? I didn't say
song?
You wanted a happy song.
Right.
I just asked you wanted fast or slow.
That's exactly right. But automatically, my brain says, well, you know, do I want a sad song or a happy song? And he plays this fast tempo song, and the lyrics are like, ouch, man. Like, that hurts. Inside.
Well, you'll love this one.
No.
No,
I'm a sucker for the slow. I mean,
oh yeah,
for
sure. Probably said we're both huge Will Hoke fans. He's got a lot of slow heartbreak ones and like.
Oh man, what is that?
Even like, I mean, and he does. You know, he's good at doing the thing where it's a sad song real fast. Like, the song that comes to my mind is Favorite Waste of Time.
Yeah.
You know, that's real fast tempo, but it's about like being a, you know, number two to a girl.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to think of that song. It's a great Will Hoke song.
What's it about? We know it, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of, like, When I Get My Wings.
Me, as I was just about to say, When I Get My Wings, or Lover Tonight.
Yeah.
Or Highways Home, or Favorite Waste of Time. I mean,
sure.
I could go on for days.
Oh, yeah.
Will Hoke, but, yeah, When I Get My Wings is...
Like, yeah, that one, just, and Strong, too. Like, for me, like, Strong, especially now, is one that is really hits home, because, like, my grandfather passed a year ago, and so that song and the lyrics in there like really hit, and it makes me think of him every time. So it's tough to sometimes, like you said, you these thoughts come back to you, and that's the power of a song for me. Like I listen to these songs, and all the memories start coming back, and some good, some bad, but you know, it's nice that they're at least they're there, you know.
Yeah.
There's a glass on the table beside my bed, where I sleep with a bottle and I wake up dead. I got holes in the bottles above my shoes. Yeah, my steps been heavy since I heard the news. Oh, I know just what you say when you tell me that you're sorry that I let you slip away. Oh, I know I found out that you're someone else's
baby now.
That's one of my, that's my favorite Will Hogue song.
Yeah, man.
That is my favorite Will Hogue song of all time.
Let's get into it.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. I, that's the only,
over your mouth in the words.
That's the only, that's most I know of it. But I think I can't remember the other half of it.
Okay, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting to hear this slow song of yours.
This slow song, okay. The last album I did was mainly acoustic, and I did it by, I did it all by myself. So, I had a friend of mine. She was like, she's like, well, you can come out here. I basically went back to my home, which is out in Spring Bluff, and around the Sullivan, Missouri area, the whole idea was I was going to go out there for like a week and just kind of like go back to my roots and like write. And it basically ended up me drinking for like a whole week, and I got one song written. So, but I kept talking to people, and it seemed like everybody that I talked to, there was like, it was like that summertime drama, you know, the love type thing, you know, summertime love drama type thing. And that it always turned into basically them having feelings for somebody and they never told them. And then it was always either too late or they just never, you know, they were just too shy, too this, too that, but they never got around to telling them. So I was sitting there, I was like, man, you know, and I took this combination of all these people's stories that they were, you know, as we're drinking, and they're kind of pouring their hearts out. And so I just kind of, I'm like, that would be good. That would be good. So I wrote the song, and hopefully I can do this one. So.
I get to watch a sunset as I look into your eyes. You never clench your fists in anger, and I can always make you smile. But you can always see right through me when I say everything's alright. And I can show you how much I need you while I'm holding you at night. Just thought that you should know. Just thought that you should know. Yeah. Just thought that you should know. I can't see into the future. Lord knows we've got our past. But if we give it one good try, girl, I swear that it'll last. I just thought that you should know. I just thought that you should know, yeah. There's no way to fight it. I just thought that you should know.
Good. That's the perfect way to end every song.
Yeah. That'll be on the new. Are you looking to put that on the new one, too?
I would like to maybe kind of take some old stuff and kind of bring it back, redo it with the band and whatnot. That particular one I would like to kind of bring back, put the sax on and stuff, kind of give it like a little bit of a DMB type thing going on. So,
yeah.
So there's all kinds of, you know, of opportunities. So.
I'm really proud of myself that I actually noticed that.
Yeah.
DMV kind of thing. I thought that in my head, so I was like, don't say it, you're
going to
sound like an idiot.
Listen to some of those tunes on your Reverb Nation page, and there's a couple of them that you get a more of a Dave Matthews kind of thing going, and there's a little bit of there, and but yeah, and, so now that you say that, like it, I mean, I was thinking that too on some of your older ones.
Yeah, you know, definitely, kind of not. I do. Like, I get people come up to me a lot, and they're like, you sound like this, or you sound like that. And it kind of, like, I don't think I do, but if you think I do, I'll play their songs, and, you know, that's...
See if I can.
So yeah, I definitely, like... Yeah, definitely like doing like the guitar-y acoustic type stuff. So yeah, yeah, so.
Well,
you got plenty of stuff.
So yeah. We'll get that new album.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye
when
out
it comes out.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this thing up, I guess. So yeah, see, people can see you Friday night at Llewellyn's in Soulard. And that's the 23rd.
That is the 23rd. And that'll be 10 to 1. I believe, like, I don't know how they're doing that, but I guess they'll get everything started like around 9, and then I'll start playing at 10. So.
Yeah. And then
$5 at the door.
And January 30th at Dubliner.
The Dubliner, and that is a no cover charge at the Dubliner, and. And then, like I said, yeah, check it out. 8 to 10, I'm going to be doing my acoustic show. And then after that, I'm going to be doing some crazy stuff. We're calling it the Shit Show Extravaganza. Because we're sitting there, and they're like, what? And but I was like, no. I was like, just wait. I go, the shit show will start like here real soon. And so, but no, it's going to be good. Very, very talented DJ. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to be doing some stuff. We're going to incorporate some of my stuff with the DJ stuff, and then dancing. It'll be a good time. Everybody needs to come out. And like I said, and that's from 10 to 2.
Yeah.
So that'd be a good night.
Yeah, sounds good.
So.
And you're all over the place, though. I mean, you're,
I am everywhere. Yeah. I'll be, next month, I'll be back at Nick's Pub. Again, Love Planet Nick's. Yeah. I'll be back at the Dubliner again. There's some new places, some new venues. I'll be back at Llewellyn's, back in at Llewellyn's and Soulard in February. So yeah, kind of a kind of a revolving type thing, I think. And then I think me and Steve's gonna do something here before too long. And then you can catch me at the Oyster Bar. I'm usually every second Tuesday of the month.
Such a fun place.
At the Oyster Bar. Love playing at the Oyster Bar. I'll be at next Thursday, I'll be at at the Bar Louie in St. Charles.
Oh.
Bar Louie in St. Charles, that'll be the
29th. St. Charles?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought they had a new one in Chesterfield.
They do. Okay. I just played at that one too. Cool. So.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the 29th, I'll be at Bar Louie in St. Charles at, what is that, at Beale Street? Is that what they have dubbed
Main
that?
Street.
No, it's not on Main Street. It's like, instead of going down to the river, it's on the other side.
Oh, I don't know.
So yeah, there's, yeah, don't go that way, go this way.
Well, they can,
you can see me pointing.
Yeah, right.
It's on the left. If you're coming, if you're going west... You're going west on 70, it's on the left-hand side. Sorry.
Right. So other people can find you and all your dates on your website, or on Facebook,
yeah. We're the website's down at the moment while we're doing new artwork and getting things ready for
Stephen Woolley Music on Facebook.
Yeah. So Facebook.com/ Stephen Woolley Music. That's Woolley, because... Mm-hmm. No one in the history of man has ever spelt my last name right. So yeah, I was for a long time. I used to take pictures every time I'd show up somewhere, and they'd have my name and like completely like
just butchered.
Yeah, Wally, like W A L L Y.
Try having a name that starts with a G and sounds like a
Woolery. Yeah, I'm like, where'd you get an R? But yeah.
Just an extra.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. G and a J. Yeah, that's...
All right, man. Well, and you got plenty of videos and on YouTube.
Man,
and
videos on YouTube. You can go to YouTube. You can Google me anytime. I've never thought in my life I would ever ask someone to Google me.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can Google me. There's Reverb Nation. There's God knows what... Facebook, you follow me on Twitter at Woolley Music, Instagram at Woolley Music, all that good stuff. Yeah. So,
keep an eye out for new music, brand new record coming soon.
Yes, soon.
All right, well, that's a wrap, man. I appreciate you hanging out. Thanks, Emily.
Yeah, thank
Thanks.
You.
And that's it. See you next time.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.